Hi, this is Elizabeth Smith McCrossin, here to provide you with my weekly constituency MLA update for Cumberland North. Today is Monday, April the 1st, and it's also Easter Monday. Easter is a time for renewal. It's a time to have renewed hope in our own hearts for each other and for the world. For Easter, Christians worldwide celebrate the risen Christ and the power that love has over hate, as well as light over darkness. Also, spring is here, and soon we will see the flowers blooming and the beauty created. Today, I send this message of hope to all this Easter Monday, knowing that many people right now are facing personal and or family challenges. And I hope that all of you find some time to reflect upon the hope that this season brings, and it will give you a renewed strength of spirit that you can face and overcome every challenge that is before you. There are always lots of challenges before us in our own lives, in our own families, in our communities, and in the world. And there always have been and always will be as long as humans roam this earth. Despite the challenges, we hold on to hope and we thank God, that love and forgiveness will always be more powerful than hurt and pain. Easter is a reminder of this. And on Good Friday, Christians around the world grieved the torturous murder of Jesus, a man who was without sin. His truth threatened those in positions of perceived power, so they killed him. But 3 days later, he was risen. And this reminds us that truth, love, and forgiveness will always overcome any amount of hate or evil in the world. Light always overcomes darkness. Faith, hope, and love will always overcome. And on this Easter Monday, my wish for you and for all humanity is that we cling to truth and always do what is good and what is right for each other. We can ask for forgiveness and we can move towards love and goodness when we make mistakes. We can also choose to forgive others and not be burdened with anger and hurt. We will never, ever rid the world of evil and hate, but we can stop it in its tracks by shining a light of truth, choosing to forgive, and choosing a better way, the way of love that brings hope for a better tomorrow, for you and for me. Today, I extend my sincerest gratitude for the love and the support many of you have sent me as I work daily for the people that I represent here in Cumberland North. Most significantly, I am thankful for my husband, my best friend, whom I love with all of my heart and soul, and also my children, my father, my siblings and their families, my friends, my Cumberland North advisory team, my work team, Dan, Gladys, Ann, and Alex, and the communities in which I serve. I also, today on Easter Monday, want to thank those from all around the province who have taken the time to send messages of support and feedback over the last few months and year. I hope that all of you have had a blessed Easter holiday weekend. I've been working in the Nova Scotia Legislature on behalf of the people of Cumberland North for the last 17 days, and we go back this coming Thursday. The legislative hours have been a bit erratic. We're not quite sure why the Premier's choosing to do this, but for some reason, we took a 6-day break and we're going back on Thursday. So I will be home here in my office in Cumberland North here on Tuesday and then in Pugwash on Wednesday, and then back in the legislature Thursday and Friday. We've been doing a lot of work. There's been very few government bills. However, the final bill that the government tabled was Bill 419, and it had over 15 pieces of legislation in it, all capped under one bill. And it's created a fair amount of stress in the legislature because each one of these items really normally, in previous governments, would have been tabled under one individual bill. And what that does is it creates more transparency, more openness, and allows us to properly debate and discuss each and every legislative change, whether it's a new bill, whether it's a new piece of legislation, or whether it's an amendment to an existing one. And by placing all of these changes in under one bill, it really restricts the amount of time that we have in opposition to properly discuss the challenges. So one thing I wanted to make sure that the people I represent are aware of, in Bill 419, there is an amendment to the Western Alignment Act. The Western Alignment Act was first brought in around 26 years ago, and that is the piece of legislation that governs the Cobequid Pass. So this government, as you know, after much pressure from myself and others, did remove the tolls on the Cobequid Pass for all Nova Scotians, and we've been fighting for that for years, especially for the people here in Cumberland County, residents as well as all the businesses. So we're thankful for that. And the, of course, we know the tolls still exist for anyone that is not, for anyone that's driving a vehicle that is not registered here in Nova Scotia is still required to pay a toll. And that money, once Bill 419 passes, that money will no longer only be used on the Cobequid Pass, but rather that money will be used throughout all of Nova Scotia on any 100 series highway. So that does mean that there will be less money for roads in Cumberland and Colchester, because any money that was been collected on the tolls has only been used on the Cobequid Pass. So I think that's important for all the people here in Cumberland to be aware of. And I'm not sure how people feel about that, but it's my job to make sure that you're aware of any legislative changes. And I did share my concerns when we were discussing this bill in the legislature, because I don't like to ever see less money being brought here to Cumberland. I always like to see more money. So I did share those concerns. Last week, we also discussed and debated at length for several hours the Financial Measures Act, Bill 419. This bill contains over 15 pieces of legislation, like I mentioned, and hidden inside is a change to the laws that protect your personal health information, your health medical file that you hold with your physician or nurse practitioner. So last week during Law Amendments Committee, several people, including Dr. Gus Grant of the College of Physicians and Surgeons, did share their concerns about the proposed changes. And the College of Physicians and Surgeons does not support the proposed changes of privacy laws of your personal health information. During question period last week, the Minister of Health repeatedly stated that the primary purpose is to provide access to health information to facilitate the development of new electronic medical records project and not to pry into personal matters. And while this may be the underlying reason, the broad-ranging and vague wording that the bill has is cause for great concern. The development of an electronic medical record system for our province is important, and it is much needed. Using our personal health information to ensure our individual electronic medical records are accurate is also important. However, the use of that information absolutely cannot compromise the trust that patients place in their healthcare providers, like a doctor or a nurse or a pharmacist or a paramedic. Every interaction a patient has in Nova Scotia here with a healthcare provider is already reported to MSI. And afterwards, information on the interaction, including a diagnosis, is readily available for data collection. However, it isn't necessary for those collecting the data to know any personal information about the patient. That is why we must ensure that this bill, this amendment to your personal health information, it's called Clause 10 of Bill 419, is not enacted. So last week, during debate in the House, I did request that the Houston government repeal the proposed changes to the privacy laws of Clause 10 in Bill 419. And I asked that the Department of Health and Wellness prepare a new bill that is more robust and more comprehensive so that it ensures proper governance structure. And a new bill would allow patients to access their electronic medical records while ensuring the privacy of their personal health information, as well as your patient confidentiality. Now, preparation of the new bill that I proposed must include planning with the Canada Health Infoway, Privacy Commissioner for Nova Scotia, the Nova Scotia Regulated Health Professions Network, which represents all health professionals except for the College of Physicians and Surgeons, which I said they should be included as well as a nonpartisan consultation with the public. Now, given that many Nova Scotia residents receive patient care through a maritime network of healthcare professionals, I believe the governance of a confidential patient information and electronic medical record should be done in collaboration with fellow maritime provinces, as well as incorporate policies with Canada Health Infoway using a pan-Canadian approach. Children, families, and expectant mothers from all over the Maritimes currently receive care at the IWK, so this must be considered. We must have a maritime approach. Also, Nova Scotians receive health care in other provinces, especially us here in Cumberland County. We as Nova Scotians, we understand and expect the information that we share with our healthcare providers, whether it's a doctor or a nurse or a pharmacist or paramedic, physiotherapist, any healthcare provider, we expect that information to be kept private and confidential. It should only be used to provide us with quality healthcare services and should not be accessible to bureaucrats or politicians. If someone tells their healthcare provider about a mental health concern, seeks advice regarding sexual assault, or is considering seeking medical assistance for dying, anything, those conversations should be protected and should always only be between that person and their caregiver, full stop. So I did debate this at length for several hours, about 45 minutes, a few different times last week, and I will continue because I feel very strongly about this. I fully support the use of electronic medical records, but I more importantly support confidentiality when it comes to your personal health information. And this kind of work is being done really all around the world. It's been done in other provinces. And as your representative in properly debating this bill, I did research every other province and territory in Canada, read their legislation around the protection of personal health records, and was able to determine that what our province is proposing is not strong enough. It's not robust enough. There's not proper governance. Really, what they tabled is are four lines in a bill that gives our Minister of Health access to your personal health information. And other provinces, the legislation around this is much more robust. It's much there's much more to it. And the laws ensure privacy and confidentiality. So my other colleagues that are in opposition have also called for changes to this bill. And when we go back again on Thursday, I'm sure you'll continue to hear more about this. And I believe that right now it is, I believe, one of the most important things we have before us in the legislature. I have tabled numerous bills this session, and as we finish up and wrap up in the next week, I'll be happy to give you a full report on all of my legislative work this session. Now, last thing I'll mention on this happy Easter Monday is today the new level of carbon tax is coming into effect that the federal government have put in place. And I want to let everyone know this is a federal decision. So technically, as your provincial representative, I do not have a vote on this matter, but I certainly have communicated that I do not support an additional increase in carbon tax. I actually don't support any carbon tax because I do not believe that it is actually creating the change that the federal government is saying that they're looking for. And that is trying to get people to use less fossil fuels and use cleaner energies. But a carbon tax does not help that, especially us living in rural Nova Scotia and rural Canada. We do not have the option of jumping onto a public transit system. And, you know, to get to work, we have to drive our cars. And to move off of furnace oil in our homes, it costs a lot of money to put in a whole new heating system. And it's not that easy to just start charging people a carbon fuel tax. So I wanted to just remind everybody that that is happening tomorrow. But provincially, what I have asked our premier to do to help everyone is to stop taxing our fuel so much. So right now, our government here in the province of Nova Scotia is charging HST on top of your provincial motor fuel tax, on top of the federal excise tax, on top of carbon tax. And our province, depending on who you listen to, has brought in between $20 and $32 million extra in revenue last year alone from taxing the carbon tax. So our premier has come out pretty strongly against the federal carbon tax. I support that. And what I've also asked our premier to do, until we get to a place where the federal government are going to remove the carbon tax, what we can do here in the province of Nova Scotia is we can take some of the tax, some of the provincial tax, whether it's through HST or the provincial motor fuel tax, we can take that off of the price of fuel to help offset the extra prices that people are paying. Because once again, our province is actually benefiting from the HST portion on top of the carbon tax. So our province has brought in, like I said, between 20 and 32 million extra in revenue and taxes because of this carbon tax, because we charge HST on top of it. So I don't believe in taxing tax on fuel or anything else. And fundamentally, I believe that that is wrong. And I have tabled a bill in that regard. So that's something I just wanted to make sure everyone is aware of. And even though it is a federal tax, the carbon tax, there are measures we could be taking here in our province to help Nova Scotians to be able to cope with these increased changes. And we did see the government index our income tax brackets. That's something that I had tabled a bill on last year, as well as indexing the basic personal tax exemptions. I'm really happy to see that. But we're not going to see that come into effect until January of 2025. So right now, what our province could do is we could stop charging HST on top of the carbon tax pricing on our fuel. And right as of right now, the government is saying that they're not willing to do that. So that's all for my update today. I want to just do a short update where it's Easter Monday. I know many of you are spending time with family and friends, having a nice ham dinner or turkey dinner, or just spending time together. Lastly, I will mention just a short note about roads. I've gotten a lot of messages from people about problems with their roads, whether it's the gravel roads or gravel-less roads, I should say, or culverts that have been washed out. Certainly anything at all to do with our provincial roads, reach out to me anytime. I'll make sure that our public works crew are aware of it and ask them to take care of things. And I know that it's causing a lot of stress for a lot of people right now. In particular, we have two major culverts out, one in the Thompson Road, Conn's Mills area, and then another one, a very large one, in Tidnish on Route 366 that's caused a lot of disruption in traffic. So if you're aware of anything else that you know the public works need to attend to, you can reach out directly to them or you can contact me through my office and I will be sure to inform them as soon as possible. I know on the weekend there was some flooding on the Beecham Road, and that is one of the roads that people are using as a detour to get around the closed culvert, closed road on 366. So we've got a lot of road problems right now, and they just seem to be growing. I have asked the minister to ask for an emergency permit for the culvert to be repaired on Route 366 to be able to bypass the federal regulations which restrict any type of culvert work like that only to happen in the summer months. So I have asked them to put that in for emergency. I have not received word back yet whether or not they are willing to do that. I have also asked the Minister of Public Works to give us an update on Howard's Bridge and when we will expect to see that open. There's been numerous delays for getting that bridge rebuilt and open to the public. So as soon as I get that information, I'll also be happy to pass it along. So that's it for my update today on Easter Monday. Again, I wish you all well. Please contact me anytime. My office in Amherst is 902-661-2288. It's located at 5 Ratchford Street. And as I mentioned earlier, I do have a legislative office in Pugwash. If you'd like to meet me there, you can just give the Amherst office a call, and my assistant Dan will be happy to set up a time for me to meet you in that area as well. I hope you all have a great week. Remember to take care of yourself and take care of others. I believe completely that our way to find true joy in this life is through service of others and in our community. Take care and have a great week.